To the rest of you, good morning and Merry Christmas. What a wonderful time of the year. Isn't that what you said last week? It's a wonderful time of the year. Let me give you a couple of more announcements and welcome to you on Facebook Live. Thank you for being here in person or joining us on Facebook Live. Let me give you a couple of more announcements. If you haven't had a chance to stop and take a look at the TV in the foyer, this time of year, you'll see a lot of faces and dates. That's people we've lost and done their funerals this year. We call it our memorial page. And I realize, and Casey and I realize, that there's more on the TV that we have lost that we're connected to, but these are ones we have done. So if you haven't seen that, take a moment and reflect. There's, 20-some faces on there, again, of people that we have done funerals for this year. So that's on the TV in the foyer. This beautiful poinsettia is in memory of one of those. His name is Bob Cheney. A lot of you knew Bob from Motley here. This is in memory of him. And one other announcement, Casey mentioned to you that we're going to have our children's program, the second service, and so we hope that you'll stay. There will be some snacks. There's always going to be some snacks prepared for you, and thank you so much for all of you that prepare those and serve those. But there'll be some snacks up here in the fellowship hall, so if you'd like to grab a snack and come back and listen to the children, I think you will be happy that you stayed and listened to the children too. But next week, correct me if I'm wrong, Susie, Mike, next week there won't be any snacks. Is that true? So if you're coming just for the snacks, you're missing out next week. I hope you'll come even without the snacks next week, because it's Christmas Eve and it's a wonderful time to worship. You know, when you think of those candles, and when I grew up, I didn't have a lot of tradition in Advent candles. Anybody else that way? Not a lot of tradition there. I didn't either. So I don't know a whole lot about Advent candles, but I've learned a little bit over the years. And when you think of those Advent candles, each of them represents something: love, joy, peace, those things that, well, we just get in Jesus. And there's one of them that represents hope. Today my topic is on hope. So let me start with a verse. It doesn't have anything to do with Christmas except for the word hope. Colossians 1, 3 through 5, Paul said, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel." Hope is something we need. I'm going to share some more scripture with you, but let me tell you a little short story first. Shackled at the waist, I'm quoting from you a story I read 2 weeks ago. Shackled at the waist, wrists, and ankles, Carrie Dean Moore walked down the hallway of the Nebraska State Penitentiary to the room where his earthly life would end. It was August 14th, 2018. He had requested that no guard hold his arm or lead him down the hallway. He wanted to walk on his own. On the execution table, covered with a white sheet, Moore's left arm was connected to intravenous tubing. He turned his head towards the members of his family present among the witnesses, and he mouthed to his family there, "I love you." The first injection of a four-drug cocktail was administered at 10:24 a.m. The warden lowered the curtain over the media's viewing window as corrections officers confirmed that the drugs had taken effect. 14 minutes later, the curtain was raised. Carrie Dean Moore, 60, was pronounced dead at 10:47. A few days later, the prison minister by the name of Bill Nance received a letter. He got this letter that was dated August 13th, the day before the execution. It was from Carrie Dean Moore, who marked the time as 3 a.m. August 13. In the letter, it said, "Are you surprised to hear from me?" Moore wrote, who had just spent 38 years on death row, 38 years for the 1979 murders of two cab drivers. "Have I been executed?" he writes to prison minister Bill. "Oh, I pray that I have, brother in Christ." "You see," he said, "I love that verse, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." And this article says, this letter was a thank you note for the church's involvement in a Christmas benevolence program at that state correctional institution where death row inmates waited to be executed. Moore had been part of that program for years. He said this in the letter, "I think it has been awesome in Christ that everything everyone has done for these guys for so long," Moore wrote. "Truly, Bill, thank you." Then he said, "Will you please let the people at your church know that I am so appreciative of them?" He also requested a pocket-sized Bible, Old and New Testament, New International Version, for another death row inmate. His name was Raymond Mata. He said, "If possible, would you mind ordering him a Bible and sending that to him?" You see, friends, when Carrie Dean Moore walked into the Nebraska prison with no hope, kind of like all of us, until we turn to Jesus. But on the day of his execution, Carrie Dean Moore left that prison with hope. Why? Because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. You see, in that 38 years that he spent on death row, there were Christians nearby that took it upon themselves to minister to these condemned, to minister to them the good news of Jesus, to minister to them at Christmas time. And some of those prisoners, Carrie Dean Moore among others, repented of their sin when they heard the good news of Jesus. And they believed in the name of Jesus and called upon the name of Jesus and were forgiven and saved. And so people like Carrie Dean Moore, even though he was on death row for 2/3 of his life, he was told about the hope of Jesus. He put his faith in Jesus and he left that prison, yes, dead, but with hope Just like Paul said in Colossians 1 when he said, that hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Hallelujah. Now back to the Christmas story. I just want to set the stage a little with that story. In Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses. You know the story. But in Luke chapter 1, we pick it up about verse 59, and John the Baptist has been born. You read the first part of that chapter, you know the circumstances. He's now 8 days old, and it's time to circumcise the boy. They bring him to the place of circumcision, and they're going to call his name Zacharias, as his father was. And mom says, no, I'm paraphrasing now. No, that's not going to be his name. His name is going to be John. They were a little confused about that because none of his relatives were named John. So they made signs, indications to Zacharias. And if you know the story, you know he hasn't said a word for 9 or 10 months. So they asked Zacharias what he would have called him. He asked for a writing tablet, and he writes, his name is John. You know the story, Luke chapter 1. The Bible says, immediately his mouth, I'm in Luke 1, verse 64, immediately his mouth, that's Zacharias, was opened, his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. That's amazing, is it not? In verse 67, here's what I want to get to for just a few verses. This man, Zacharias, the Bible says, was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. Now listen to the hope that he's offering to some people that have not heard from God in 400 years. Yes, God's angel spoke to Mary, spoke to Elizabeth, but these people, we call them the children of Israel, had not heard from God for 400 years. And at this moment, Zacharias offers some hope. Listen to what he said. Luke 1:68, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus hasn't been born yet. But Zacharias, being full of the Holy Spirit of God, is offering them hope. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he's visited us. He's redeemed us. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke, Zacharias goes on, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. He's offering them hope. The oath, he continues, which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. He's talking about Jesus. And then he begins to speak just a little bit about his own son. He's 8 days old now. They've called him John. And he says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's offering hope. Hope to the hopeless. At this time in their lives, a lot of these folks, yes, oppressed by the Romans and longing for scriptures to be filled and longing, when is the Messiah coming? needed some hope, and Zacharias, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, offers them hope this day, the hope of Jesus. A couple more verses. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope." You see, friends, we can and do hope for different things all day long. Do we not? Young people, I hope I'll pass the test. I hope I'll get an A. I hope I'll win the next meet. We hope and wish for things all day. I hope my car gets me to where I want to go. I hope I get to see my grandkids grow up. I hope I survive this cancer. I hope my relationships turn out. We hope all day long for a whole lot of things. But friends, I want us to think deeply today about the hope of Jesus. Because really, eternally speaking, our only hope is Jesus. Amen? There's people here today that have lost their loved ones in the last month. There's people in our community that have lost loved ones this week. There's people in our midst today that have had strokes this last week. There's people in our midst that will have surgeries next week. There's people in our midst that are going through chemotherapies and all kinds of things right now. But I'm telling us, friends, there's still hope in Jesus. When we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the hope that came to us in a baby in a manger. Let me just say this. If you're listening online today or happen to be sitting here this morning, if you haven't surrendered completely to Jesus, you don't have any hope. You say, "Jim, well, I got hope. I got some hope. I still feel pretty good." Friends, listen to me. If we haven't surrendered completely to Jesus, we don't have any eternal hope. We are actually living lives that are hopeless. Because someday we will breathe our last breath. And if we haven't come to faith in Christ, we haven't given it all to Him, we then are facing an eternity of hopelessness. And so if we have never gotten to that point of repenting of our sin, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, all kinds of people, I've heard it from all kinds of magazines and such lately. We minimize the virgin birth. We think of this scene, this baby coming in a manger, born of a virgin, and we say, "Oh, that can't happen." Or the resurrection from the dead, "No, that can't happen." We minimize and we push Jesus aside. I'm telling you, friends, if we don't subscribe to all of who He is, we don't have any hope. And until we subscribe to the Master, to the Messiah, to the King of Kings, to the Prince of Peace, to the One who gives us hope, we are living hopeless lives. I think of people like Carrie Dean Moore. I had a chance to lead a person to the Lord in jail once. What a blessed experience that was. He was also there for murder. Dale and Carla and you guys, maybe all of you, Jared, maybe you guys, Linda, you've been there in prisons. You've ministered to the people in prisons. But I think of people on, like Carrie Dean Moore, and some of us think, well, he got what he deserved. You know what? We all deserve that. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You say, Jim, I didn't murder no two cab drivers. If we've ever lied, if we've ever stolen, if we've ever lusted, if we've ever had murder in our heart, for those to do good and do it not, that's sin. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So lest we think he got what he deserved, we've all been there. And then Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That death is eternal separation from God. We've all been on that side of the grace of God. And until we've repented of whatever our sins were and come to Christ by faith, we are living hopeless lives. Whether we took a man's life or whether we stole our neighbor's pencil, we are hopeless until we meet him who offers hope. Christian, you got that little old, there we go. Here's what it boils down to. You don't know Jesus? You say, Jim, I believe in God in my mind. But have you surrendered everything to Christ? Is he Lord of everything you do? Because if we don't have Christ as Lord, we got no hope. But when we know him as Lord, oh, we can know a hope. There's people sitting here today that have had a tough week. They're going through chemos. They're going through strokes. They're going through the loss of a loved one or the anniversary of a loss of a loved one. But they have a hope because they know Jesus. That's all the difference in the world. If I don't know Jesus as Lord, I will not know hope. I'm not talking about my mom either. Her name is Hope. I'm talking about the hope that Paul talked about in Colossians chapter 1, the hope of heaven. That's the hope he offers. We celebrate this baby in the manger as our hope. Yes, peace. Yes, joy. Yes, love. But he gives us hope. Hope when it seems like life is hopeless. Got people in our midst, their spouses have walked out on the last few weeks or days. We got people in our midst that have been told you got cancer again. But there is still hope in the one who's offering hope. Amen? Zacharias, when you read through Luke chapter 1 there, Zacharias was hoping that the Jewish people would be rescued from their enemies. He said that like 3 times. And he could have. It goes back to my could he or couldn't he series. He could have rescued them from the Romans. But he was there to offer hope in a different way. He was there to offer forgiveness of sin. He was there to rescue them and to rescue us from the bondage of sin and give us hope. Because I know so many of your stories, and I know the really hard things you're going through right now, I know it can seem hopeless. It can. Can I get a witness? It can. And I'm sorry about those hard things you're going through. I'm really sorry about that. Because life will throw some hard things at us. There's no doubt about that. But I still maintain we can know the hope of Jesus despite whatever hard things that are thrown our way. And we can find our place like Carrie Dean Moore found himself. Not because he did anything good except believe, repent of his sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he knew he had hope. And so even though life will dish out hard things, in his case, because of choices. And sometimes when cancer is thrown in your world or other circumstances, it wasn't necessarily by your choice, but it's hard things. I still want us to realize, friends, there's still hope in Jesus. There's still hope for tomorrow in glory. I was thinking of our church family this week as I was thinking about the hope. And there's no denying it. Some of us are getting old. Some of us have cancer. Some of us have had. Some of us are battling liver failures and kidney failures and brain tumors and leukemia. And as I have said, a whole lot more. But if we will just look at the Prince of Peace and the Author of Hope as Carrie Dean Moore did, yeah, they're going to give me an injection here. Matter of fact, they're going to give me two or three of them, but I'm going to be with Jesus. Are you hearing me, friends? Job said it this way a long time ago in the Old Testament, though they slay me, yet in my flesh I will see God. He had the hope. Carrie Dean Moore had the hope, not because of something he had done, but because of what was accomplished on the cross. And he simply embraced that. He repented of the murders. He repented of the sin. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he embraced him by faith. And he had a hope, even though he was going to get those injections that would take his life. He had the hope that Paul talked about of heaven because of Jesus. And so can we in cancers and in divorce and difficulties. So can we. If we will trust him completely, we will have a hope that transcends the tragedies of this life. We will have a hope like he did that day when he wrote to Chaplain Pastor Bill, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's hope. Janet wrote about that 2 years ago. She lost her Ron. She wrote about that this week. But she still got hope because Ron had hope. And Bonnie's got hope even though she's going through cancer. And Teresa's got hope. And Kevin's got hope. And people that know Christ have a hope that is real and is eternal. The challenge I'm leaving with us, I'm going to quit now. We're going to sing a song about hope. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have that hope. You're just living life hopeless. And I'm not trying to be condemnatory, friends. This is eternally important. Well, Jim, I believe in God. Wonderful. Have you surrendered everything to Jesus? Do you know that peace? Do you know that love? Do you know that joy? Do you know the hope that He offers even when tragedy strikes? Because only Jesus offers that kind of hope. And if you don't, may I encourage you, don't put it off. Don't put it off. I don't know at what part. I read the whole story, and I left out a lot of details for you. I don't know at what point Carrie Dean Moore decided, I need Jesus. But at some point, we all need to recognize Jesus is not a religion. He's not a denomination. He is Lord. He came as a baby, as God in the flesh. He died on a sinner's cross so that we could live. He is our hope. And until we repent of sin and embrace Him by faith and commit to walking with Jesus, we are living hopeless lives. And so I just want to encourage you, put your faith and trust in Christ. And if you don't know how, come to Casey or myself or Dale and Carla or many others, and we will pray with you. We will help you. Put your faith in Christ and know the hope that He offers. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I love the words of this song because hope is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive in us, but not everyone. Not everyone has decided yet about Jesus. And so I pray this morning, Father, that whether they're watching by Facebook Live or here today, or will hear the message of hope somewhere else on TV, radio, or something else, I pray that people would decide about Jesus and know that hope that takes us through the difficulties. Know that hope that lifts us up and carries us when we can't walk no more. Knows that hope that gives us breath when we can't breathe no more because of the pain and the tragedy and the misery and the suffering. I pray that we would really, genuinely, truly know the hope of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we celebrate you at this Christmas season for coming as a baby. God, what a gift. What a gift you've given to us in sending your Son, God, in the flesh as a baby. And so as we celebrate that this season, we know people hurt. We know people are struggling. We know people are lonely. Father, you know it better than we do. We just want to pray that they too, no matter what life has dished out to them, we pray this season, this Christmas season, that they too would experience all over again the joy of Jesus, the love of God, the peace of Jesus, and the hope that Jesus offers. We pray that they will experience that no matter what the circumstances are. Thank you for being with us, Lord. Thank you for offering us hope. Bless the snack time. Bless those that will be going on to something else today. Watch over them. Bless our children and our Sarah and those that have helped make that program a reality that we're going to see in just 30 minutes or so. Bless this day as we continue to celebrate you and worship you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the one who offers us hope. In His name we pray, amen.